Chapter 24. Fruits défendus. When he got back to his room, he was touched to find all his belongings put away, and in the bathroom his toothbrush and shaving things neatly arranged at one end of the glass shelf over the washbasin. At the other end was Vesper's toothbrush and one or two small bottles, and a jar of face cream. He glanced at the bottles, and was surprised to see that one contained Nembutal sleeping pills. Perhaps her nerves had been more shaken by the events at the villa than he had imagined. The bath had been filled for him, and there was a new flask of some expensive pine bath essence on a chair beside it, with his towel. "Vesper," he called.
"Yes?"
"You really are the limit. You make me feel like an expensive gigolo."
"I was told to look after you. I'm only doing what I was told."
"Darling, the bath's absolutely right. Will you marry me?" She snorted.
"You need a slave, not a wife."
"I want you."
"Well, I want my lobster and champagne, so hurry up."
All right," said Bond. He dried himself and dressed in a white shirt and dark blue slacks. He hoped that she would be dressed as simply, and he was pleased when, without knocking, she appeared in the doorway wearing a blue linen shirt which had faded to the colour of her eyes, and a dark red skirt in pleated cotton.
"I couldn't wait. I was famished. My room's over the kitchen, and I've been tortured by the wonderful smells."
He came over and put his arm round her. She took his hand, and together they went downstairs out onto the terrace, where their table had been laid in the light cast by the empty dining room. The champagne which Bond had ordered on their arrival stood on a plated wine cooler beside their table, and Bond poured out two full glasses. Vesper busied herself with the delicious homemade liver pâté, and helped them both to the crisp French bread and the thick square of deep yellow butter set in chips of ice. They looked at each other and drank deeply, and Bond filled their glasses again to the rim. While they ate, Bond told her of his bathe, and they talked of what they would do in the morning. All through the meal they left unspoken their feelings for each other, but in Vesper's eyes, as much as in Bond's, there was excited anticipation of the night. They let their hands and their feet touch from time to time, as if to ease the tension in their bodies. When the lobster had come and gone, and the second bottle of champagne was half empty, and they had just ladled thick cream over their fraise de bois, Vesper gave a deep sigh of contentment.
"I'm behaving like a pig," she said happily. "You always give me all the things I like best. I've never been so spoiled before."
She gazed across the terrace at the moonlit bay.
"I wish I deserved it."
Her voice had a wry undertone.
"What do you mean?" asked Bond, surprised.
"Oh, I don't know. I suppose people get what they deserve, so perhaps I do deserve it."
She looked at him and smiled. Her eyes narrowed quizzically.
"You really don't know much about me," she said suddenly.
Bond was surprised by the undertone of seriousness in her voice.
"Quite enough," he said, laughing. "All I need until tomorrow and the next day, and the next. You don't know much about me, for the matter of that."
He poured out more champagne.
Vesper looked at him thoughtfully. "People are islands," she said. "They don't really touch. However close they are, they're really quite separate, even if they've been married for 50 years.